Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is a blessing to be here with you. I'm Apostle Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. Ernest Maddox Ministries. I just want to welcome you around the world to this broadcast, the Dr. Ernest Maddox Ministries broadcast. We are here on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and Friday night at 7 p.m., sharing the Word of God with you and for you through the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look, I just simply want to say to you, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed wherever you are in this world, whether you're listening by phone or if you've gone online to share the Word of God with me and with others. You know, when you tune in like this, even though you're not speaking, you are still sharing in the Spirit. For those of you who want to have this number, just in case you want to call in and listen to the broadcast, that's 646-716-8530, and you can just call in and listen to the broadcast, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DrMaddox. You can go online and reach us at www.dremaddox.org or www.pointoflightcc.org to get all the information about our ministries. You can also call 248-423-9289. You can find out information about me and the ministries that God has called me to at LinkedIn, praise the Lord, Vimeo, GodTube, and YouTube. You will find content relative to the Word of God and how He's working in my life to share this word around the world. I just want to say God bless you to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, elders and bishops, missionaries, and servants at every level who are doing the work of God in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I appreciate you. I love you. And I know that God has something for you on the broadcast. I'm going to be sharing with you a message that I believe is going to change your life.
Do you believe you serve a mighty God? Oh, I said, do you believe you serve a mighty, able, faithful God? He's worthy to be praised. Come on.
And Cain was, of course, banished. And in verse 17, it says, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bore Enoch. And he built a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Arad. Arad begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. Notice these names, how similar they are. Number one, the Jude. When Jude spoke of Enoch, he was talking about the seventh from Adam. The Jude did not speak of this Enoch, the second from Adam, who was Cain's son. You're wondering why this is important? Because you need to recognize that Cain came from a line that is not of Adam. Cain, in fact, was the first Nephilim. Not purely human, not purely man, but a hybrid. But I want to move again here in Genesis. And I want to go to Genesis, the fifth chapter. You notice the name Lamech and Enoch in chapter 4. That Satan's attempt, counterfeit what God is doing in Genesis, the fifth chapter. Now, in Genesis 5:18, well, let's move back. I don't want to go directly to 5:16. It talks about Enoch. Well, let's go to verse 20. Verse 19. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. So Enoch, this Enoch was the son of Jared, not the son of Cain. Because in verse 18 it says Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Enoch lived 5 years and he begat Methuselah. And verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is the Enoch that Jude is quoting, not Enoch, Cain's son. Now, imagine living in that day and hearing about the Enoch that walked with God. These Enochs were contemporaries. How could you tell the fake from the false? And to further make things a little more confusing, in Genesis 5:28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his son's name Noah. Now the Lamech in Genesis, the fourth chapter, is not this same Lamech, but the names are spelled the same. How do I know? Look at the pedigree. Look at the lineage. You can trace this Lamech all the way back to Adam through Seth. Cain is not mentioned in Adam's lineage. You need to understand this because this is right proceeding. Because the days of Noah were pre, we should say, Lamech and Methuselah lived prior to Noah. So their time staged the time. When Noah was born in Genesis 5, his days began in Genesis 5, and his longevity moved into Genesis 6. It is amazing when you look at the Word of God. Now, as we focus and we understand what is going on here and what happened in Genesis 6, Satan had already perpetrated on Eve. Cain and Abel might have been maternal twins, but they definitely were not fraternal twins. There are many cases, this is not unusual, where twins are born, two different eggs. I know of cases very specifically in my own family where the twins were born minutes from each other, did look nothing like each other, but each one looked like their father. They had the physical genetic imprint, and as they got older, they began to manifest the psychological, spiritual, characteristic DNA of their two different fathers. This is a scientific fact. Now, I know many of you in your religious mindset can't deal with this, but you need to ask yourself, why did God say to Eve that there will be enmity between your seed? Or he said it directly to Satan, between your seed and the seed of the woman, because Satan had seed. But let me get back to my focus here. And I, by no means, are going to sit here and lead you to believe that in the time, the 90 minutes that I'm going to spend with you this evening, is going to clear this up in your minds. You need to do your research. Many have done research, and I'm going to name one in particular that I respect and is respected around the world. His name is Stephen Quayle, and he has a book called Genesis 6 Giants, Master Builders of the Prehistoric and Ancient Civilizations. I haven't read or had the chance to read the whole book, but the parts I've read, I have validated in the Word of God, and they are substantial. You know, when the Israelites went to spy out Canaan, they saw giants in the land. These were Nephilims, Rephilims, basically the same thing, giants. And everywhere God sent the Israelites where this genetic brand of human being existed, God told the Israelites to totally destroy them. Again, you need to recognize that these were huge beings with destructive tendencies. Cain was the first documented one in biblical history. He killed his brother. God still tried to reason with him. Now, here's an excerpt from the book of Enoch, outlined in Genesis 6. And the women became pregnant and gave birth to giants, whose heights were about 300 cubits. These giants consumed the produce or the produce of all the people, until the people detested feeding them. So the giants turned against the people in order to eat them, and they began to sin against birds, with beasts, with reptiles and fish, and their flesh was devoured, the one by the other, and they drank the blood. This is what these giants began to do. And if you saw the movie Jack and the Beanstalk again, they Hollywoodenized it. But the giants depicted in that movie, the Nephilim, behaved just like the ones did in Genesis, the sixth chapter. Period. You can do your research. You know, God has made it real clear where we are. Again, let's share a little bit. Let's look at some things that are pointed out. You know, there's a lot of mythology around these beings. In Egypt, half beasts, half men, enormous size, enormous strength. But in the book of Isaiah, you know, it is mentioned and it talks about these beings. Moses talks about these beings. If you go to Isaiah around verse 26, or should I say chapter 26, verses 13 and 14, it says there, O Lord our God, other lords besides us, thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, and they should not live. Listen to this. They are ruffian, R-E-P-H-A-I-M. They shall not rise. Therefore, thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all their memories to perish. In that day he did, those who lived then, but they keep reappearing. Isaiah 26, 13 through 14. There are many places in the Old Testament where these beings appeared. David had a direct conflict and battle with one of them. His name was Goliath. He taunted Israel until God sent David, king, to deal with him. Now, you can find these words spent or spelled many ways. R-E-P-H-A-I-M, R-A-P-H-A-I-M, Nephilim, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M. Google that information, and you will find that there's a lot of history, ancient and current, about these beings who were drowned in the flood. And because they were neither human nor God, their spirits could not go to heaven or hell, but they roamed the earth. This is where the demons come from. They are disembodied giants, disembodied Nephilim, who are seeking a body to possess. Fallen angels don't seek bodies to possess. They can manifest a body and create all the deception they need to. The dead bodies of these disembodied Nephilim, these spirits are roaming. Christ talked about it. Their house no longer exists, so they are seeking to possess us. And because of that level of wickedness, in Genesis, God destroyed the earth. in the days of Noah, we are going to see these things. They are going to be a reality. We need to recognize it. Look, I want to take a music break at this time, and I'll be back. We'll be continuing until 8:30. The days of Noah, the Nephilim. You need to recognize the power of God and understand what God is doing.
Like the dew in the morning, may he rest upon
Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Ernest Maddox, and we have dealt in some detail with the days of Noah, the Nephilim. And by no means am I going to claim that I've covered every question, every issue, every doubt, every concern. But I know I've laid a foundation, that I've raised a question in your mind about what is being taught to us and what the reality of the Word of God says. Amen. When we go to John 8 chapter, I referenced that earlier. I think it's important now that we go there with the time that we have left and see what Christ had to say about this whole issue of Satan having offspring. Now, I know that we could say academically God is talking spiritually. I believe that you can have a spiritual adoption as well as a DNA reality. And I think Christ is dealing with both here. In verse 44 of John 8, Christ said to them in verse 43 of John 8, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" You can't hear the Logos. Cain couldn't hear the Logos from the Jesus of Genesis. And these Canaanite mentality individuals, and there is historical proof that those mostly involved in the priesthood at this time in history were not Levites, but Kenites, descendants of Cain, who had taken over the responsibility of scribes and Pharisees. But then again, that's another message. John 8:44. So Christ was not just speaking off the cuff. He says, "You are of your father, the devil. The DNA is there. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Well, Christ is not the only one suffering from that. There are many who are telling the truth, but because it's falling on ears that have been compromised spiritually, emotionally, and even genetically, have become the virtual sons of Satan and the reality sons of Satan. In verse 49, Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Amazing that when we're faced with the truth of the Word of God, that we want to go with traditions. We want to believe that there was a fruit or an apple that was eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was the fruit. In Matthew 7:20-21, it says, "By their fruit you should know them." People don't grow apples out of the side of their heads. It's what they do. And the same thing was true in Genesis. Christ says, "Stay away from that tree, and I'm the tree of life. You can come to me and get what you need." But Satan deceived Eve. And why is it that in Genesis, the second chapter, the last few verses, they were naked and not ashamed? But when Christ went to look for them, they were hiding naked and ashamed. And God asked them, who told you that? Where did you get that information? Well, when these angels that didn't keep their first estate, the 20 that led to 200, manifested in Genesis, the sixth chapter, they brought sexual perversion and forbidden information. They brought the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Passed on from Satan to Cain and was able to approach those who are still operating in that DNA. Let's go back now to Genesis because I want to reemphasize something very important that occurred here relative to the Word of God and what we have been speaking about, because I want to ensure that I've done the best that I can in the few moments, this 90 minutes. And we're going to go again to Genesis, the sixth chapter. And we recognize that God gave Noah some instructions. But in Genesis 6:8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, because his DNA was not polluted by the Nephilim or the fallen angels who promulgated the seed of the Nephilim, it was not a part of Noah's lineage because he rooted out of Seth. And that line called on God, and when it got to Enoch, they walked with God. And as a result, God chose Noah, Enoch's great-grandson, to survive the flood that destroyed the wickedness. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is our ark to protect us from the flood that is going to come upon this earth in the form of wickedness and eventually in fire, like it did in Sodom and Gomorrah. We are living time now when men are marrying men, women marrying women, individuals are marrying children, people are being eaten by other human beings. They even have animal brothels now in places on this globe where human beings can pay to have sex with animals. People are moving in human, or should I say superhuman strength, being possessed by Nephilim, who are the size and bigger than Goliath, and that disembodied spirit coming into flesh and bodies and causing them to perform enormous feats of strength. We see the accumulation and multiplication of programs that deal with the supernatural. This is not by accident. Where even in our own nation, and God bless America, but he won't bless them long if they keep heading down the road of the days of Noah. Those of us who say we know God must stand for the word of God as Noah did. Now, don't get this twisted and get it confused with the movie that's now out called Noah. If there's any truth in that movie at all, is that water came, drowned some folk, and animals got on the ark. As far as I'll go with that Hollywood or Hollywoodenized movie having anything to do with the legitimate story of Noah. Noah was not a raging madman, lunatic murderer, as that movie would depict him to be. I understand literary license. I just don't approve of it, especially in something so significant. Now, why do you think a movie that would poison the whole concept of Noah would be released in this time in history, when an understanding of the legitimacy of the days of Noah and how Christ made that in Matthew, the 24th chapter, is that being a legitimate sign? Matthew 24, 37 again, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So right now, Christ spoke those words, and we're being shown an image of the days of Noah that is 99% at best in error. It's not a coincidence. I say the Genesis 4 counterfeit is live and well, that the Enoch, who is Cain's son, who became the great-grandfather of Noah, is the one being portrayed in that movie. Not the Enoch of Jude, the seventh from Adam. It's a deception to throw us off what Christ was saying. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days before the flood, they were all eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Well, getting drunk and marrying who? Marrying what? And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So will the return of Christ be. You'll be so confused. We'll be so confused by movies like Noah, by laws being passed that totally contradict the word of God relative to marriage and relationships, that this prophecy in Matthew, the 24th chapter, will have no meaning and be laughable at best, even by some Christians who have bought into the Hollywoodenized representation of the Word of God through movies that are supposed to be religious and biblical, that may very well be religious, but not biblically sound by no means. Going on in the Word of God, as we saw in the book of Jude, and let's return there. I think that I may very well end my message in the book of Jude. Jude 1:14, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them, all of their ungodly deeds. Let me go over this again. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's in the book of Jude. That's what happened in the days of Noah. Verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admirations because of advantage. Political correctness. Political correctness. Political correctness. Some are even saying, well, times have changed, and the word of God must change. Did God change his word in Genesis 6? When the times changed, God changed the times. He didn't change his word. He created a new time. I call it the other side of the flood time. God didn't end his word. He ended that time. He ended that period in history and moved into another time. It's called the arcing time. We are moving swiftly to that time. God is not going to adapt to this present world and its present wickedness. God is going to adapt the world to his word, according to Jude and many other places. It says, these are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit, and I'm going to add, of now. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. My brothers and sisters, God loves you. He wants you to know the truth. And it's been my blessing to be able to share that with you today. God bless you.